My name is Carlos. I'm the campus pastor here at our North Campus. I don't know about you. If you just saw that video, that is not the youth group I grew up in. If you grew up in church, we were lucky to have hot dogs for food. And so if you're a student, you need to take advantage of that. If you have a student, I encourage you to sign them up and be part of our youth conference in January. So this weekend, we call it a standalone message. And that is a time where all of our campus pastors across all of Gateway are able to communicate. And so we know some of you are watching online. You might attend a different campus, and that's perfectly fine. Make sure you go back to their Facebook pages and watch the message, because it's a message really for that particular campus here at North. We're a larger campus. We have a lot of people online. And so I get to lead today's message as the North Campus pastor, and really, really encouraged as we go into Thanksgiving week. As we go into this week of whatever it is for you, but I got to tell you that I've had some personal struggles over the last couple of weeks around Thanksgiving, because I'm the person who really believes that all of the holidays should actually happen in sequential order. And so I go to stores and they have stuff up for the next holiday. I get really triggered, like really upset. I don't know if anybody else is like that. Yeah, some of you are like, yes, yes, keep it in order. Keep Thanksgiving. You know, like, I get it. I totally get it. Except a few weeks ago, I told my wife, I'm ready for Christmas. And so we set up our Christmas tree. We put lights up. And I'm going against my own order, right? The order. But there's something about it. And I know it's so easy to roll our eyes and sigh at those people who buy all of the Halloween candy really early, but then you go to buy candy the week of and there's nothing left. True story. And we can overlook all those people who are excited and have so much joy. We can overlook the little kid was excited about Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas and roll our eyes. We can roll our eyes at a little kid who loses their tooth and decides the tooth fairy cannot have the tooth unless they pay $25. True story. I know. And I will tell you this, kids believe in inflation. That is for sure. We can overlook the person who is going through a very difficult situation through COVID or job loss or a divorce, and somehow they're positive and cheery, and we want to let them know you're not living in reality. But my question is, what happened to some of us? What happened to some of us that robbed us of those moments, that robbed us of the holiday season, that robbed us of having joy, that robbed us of that honest, that I lost my tooth when I was a kid and I would hide it. And, you know, your parents maybe gave you a quarter if you're that old. What happened to some of us along the way? And the answer is, in a very generic sense, that we faced some challenges. We face some issues that kind of brought us back to reality. And I got to let you know, as a pastor, I get to lead a lot of really great people and amazing volunteers. Matter of fact, here at the North Campus, we've been going through a building transformation. It's taken forever because everything's on back order. Our goal was to do it in 60 days, and now we're on month number 6. Not everything's coming in, and everybody's so busy in Austin, and you can't see it in the auditorium right now, but we repainted this auditorium this week. In the middle of the week, we had dozens of volunteers who came up to help make it happen, and all of the covers on the wall used to be like a tan color. Now they're all black. If you're in the building, you look, they're all black. Hundreds of hours because of volunteers, and I'm so grateful for that, because there's amazing people that make things happen. I've seen people go through some pretty difficult situations, and then I've seen people experience heartache that is unimaginable. And then I've seen people celebrate victories, and I've seen everything in between as a pastor. And I'm going to venture and step out to say that the week that we are in right now, the week of Thanksgiving week, this week, whatever you have coming up, whether you're traveling, staying home, seeing family, by yourself, this week, there's something about this week as a pastor that tells me how you approach this week is a telltale sign of who you are as a person. No shame involved. But I want you to understand this. That's why I've crafted this message today, because I want us to understand what it means to walk in thanksgiving and to be grateful. And we say thanksgiving as though all of us have the same approach when it comes to Thanksgiving, this week of introspection and sitting down and what am I thankful for? What am I grateful for? And all those things. We have a few highs this week with, we'll have great food and we'll have football and time off and family and friends, and then there'll be their share of lows with bad food and lost football games and missing family members and maybe no friends. The highs and lows of this week will come to most of us. And I could stand here and ask you to be, and have you all list out, what are you thankful for? Let's take 2 minutes and be thankful for. And what are you thankful for this week? And I got to tell you, I'm not going to do that. You're grown people. You can make your own list on your own time of what you're thankful for. I have an idea. Why don't you do it when all the food is on the table and everybody's ready to eat? Like my dad does. And all the food is just off filling your nostrils. And he's like, we're going to go person by person. Saying what we're thankful for. And you would think the people in my family are the most ungrateful people in the world. No, they're just hungry. No, the challenge is that most of us may not even know the difference between being thankful and grateful. And today we're going to learn that difference and what does that mean for us. So the question is, what is the difference between thankful and grateful? And just by sheer definition, Oxford Dictionary, thankful means pleased and relief. Thankful. And grateful means showing an appreciation of kindness. And so thankful is an emotion, it's a feeling, and being grateful is an action. So we say Thanksgiving, and there's nothing wrong with saying Thanksgiving because it's a feeling we have of relief. It's being thankful that we have a house, that we have food, being thankful that we have family or friends, being thankful we have a job, being thankful maybe you haven't had COVID or you survived COVID. Being thankful, it's a feeling, it's a thought, but being grateful is the expression of your Thanksgiving. And I wonder how many of us, when we're around our family and friends, no matter what your relationship looks like, are you grateful by showing an expression of what you are feeling? Grateful is the action step of our thankfulness. So we're going to spend most of our time focusing on being grateful as an expression of thanksgiving this week, because I want us to be people of action. I want us at the North Campus and those associated with this campus, whether you're online, you're watching on demand, or you're in the room, I want us to be people of action. I don't want us to be on the sidelines. I want us to be in the game, to be grateful, to live it out. So I literally, and I do this sometimes with some of my message, I went to Google and I just said, what are the things that people are thankful and grateful for? And I read through about 40 lists. Some were 10 or 15. There was one list that had 100 things to be thankful for. Only one time in the 40 lists that I read did I find the word I was looking for. And that's the word we're going to talk about today. The word is challenge, struggle, or fight. When's the last time you were grateful for your challenge? That's what we're talking about today. Can I be grateful for the challenge? And for some of us, we might want to put a parenthesis with an S, challenges. Am I grateful for the challenges? We've all faced them. And not just in the last year and a half. Some of your entire lifetime has been a challenge. Some of your entire childhood or your teen years or your job and the season you're in has been one big challenge. And I'm going to ask you sometime today or this week, can we wrap our minds and hearts around being grateful for the challenge and what is causing you to be and how it's shaping you? And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I love this quote by Theodore Roosevelt. He says this: nothing in the world is worth having or worth doing unless it means effort, pain, difficulty. I have never in my life envied a human who led an easy life. He didn't have Instagram. I've never in my life envied a human being who led an easy life. I have envied a great many people who led difficult lives and led them. What does Scripture say about this? Romans 5, 1 through 5, and it's going to be guiding us through our message today. Here we go. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast. To boast, you know what it means to boast. You have your chest out, you're boasting. You have confidence in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory. Listen to the phrasing. We glory in the sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So why are we grateful? Why do we find glory in our challenges? Scripture already pointed out for us, and we're just going to go right through it. Number one, because challenges produce perseverance. You ever worked with somebody who just did not have perseverance, could not finish anything? Some of you are like, you're speaking my language right now. You ever raised a kid or been a teacher, and you have a kid who starts off really strong, and then halfway through the project, they're distracting everybody else in the class because they just couldn't finish. See, challenges produce a perseverance about us. And Angela Duckworth, who's literally dedicated her life to this subject matter, she says this: consistency of effort over the long run is everything. She does her research on people who are the most successful. She talks about grit, this grit about us. You have this thing about you that tells you, maybe you were taught it, maybe you were born with it, but all of us have to work on that gritty aspect of finishing what we started, this perseverance, this challenge that we have. And I don't know about you, but I'm a glutton for the videos of people barely finishing the New York City Marathon. Or the one, that famous one where that the young man hurts his leg in the Olympics and he just wants to go across the finish line. And his dad comes out of the stands. You ever seen that one? And his dad comes out of the stands and helps him cross the finish line. Does it matter what position he came in, his dad knew there was a value in his son finishing the race. See, challenges cause us to have perseverance. We have to build up this tolerance for challenges. And I know it can be tough because some of us face more challenges than others. And so you're like, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the way the world is working. I cannot believe we have to keep going through this over and over and over and over and over and over. And yet there's something about the challenge that produces perseverance and an ability to finish well. Hebrews 12 says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How many of you have decided you wanted to start running? Remember that first day? You bought the shorts, bought the shirt. You convinced your husband you needed a $200 pair of shoes. And you look like $1 million. And you get around the first block, and you're like, I don't know if I can do this. Some of us quit and walk back home. Some of us quit, but we're at least going to walk it out. And I'm not going to lie. I've seen people do this, and I have been a victim of this. Not a victim. I have been somebody who's done this. You walk, and you see a car coming, and you decide to run. Right? Come on. And here's one I'm going to tell on myself. My wife's here. There's one time I knew I was not running very well. So that last quarter mile, I ran as hard as I could so I could have a sweat, and I was out of breath. I was like, man, that was a good run. It was a horrible run. I was faking it. I didn't have a perseverance about me. But listen to this, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. That does not even make sense. For the joy set before him, he endured suffering and pain. Because he knew it wasn't about the suffering and pain. He knew it was about the joy and the life that you and I would be able to have because of his suffering. And he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have to know there's hope. You have to know that the challenges cause something to happen inside of you. And I want you to know, if you're a teenager in the room, if you're a young adult in the room, I hope you understand that if you can learn this early on in your life, it will help you later on in life. I believe me. If you can learn that the challenge you face, if you'll take it right on and you'll work and work and work and understand that the challenge doesn't define you. The challenge is a set of situations, of circumstances, but what it does in us is what defines us. Because once we work out perseverance, number two, perseverance produces character. I grew up in South Texas for a few years. I was there about 10 years, Uvalde County. And my dad's a New Yorker. He's a city guy. And he could already tell that I was getting lazy as an 11-year-old. He woke me up one Saturday morning and he said, "You're going out to the ranch." I was like, "It's 3 a.m. "Yes. This is when you're going to go out." Go out to the ranch, and there are thousands of sheep. And I'm going to help these men, who are 5 or 6 times older than me, shear sheep all day. It was awful. At first, it was kind of cool. I felt like I was, like, in Yellowstone. Or I felt like I was, like, a cowboy. I had my boots on. I looked the part. I mean, you live in South Texas. You're going to have boots. You're going to have the jeans. You're going to have it all. But I didn't have the character. You ever talk with somebody and you think you're half a man, you think you're half a woman, and you meet somebody who's been through some stuff and they come out of it on the other side and you're like, "Yeah, I'm not a man. I'm a little boy. Yeah, I'm not really a woman yet. That See, there's something about character being developed when we allow perseverance to run its course, when we say we're not going to quit, when we say we're not going to give up, when we have the attitude of Christ that even going to the cross, he did not quit. He went to the cross with the joy set before him, and yet that perseverance creates a character. You put yourself in position to now be shaped in the image of Christ. It creates and develops something in us. It creates a fruit about your life. I dare you to do something if you have kids or grandkids. I dare you, because it will not always be fun. But it's stuff we do in our house. Ask your kids to describe you. Some of you are like, "I am not doing that." Ask your grandkids to describe you. "Well, we're trying to enjoy Thanksgiving week. We're not going to go there." And if you're hesitant to do it, ask yourself this question: do I even know what I've projected to my own family? What character have you projected? What character have you developed? Because Galatians says this about the character of Christ and the fruit of being like Christ. "But the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit given to us, is love and joy and peace." All corny words. This is not reality. Love, joy, peace. Who do these people think they are? Jesus? That's the goal. Look at this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law. This fruit of our shaping, our contouring to the image of Christ. I mean, listen to this list again. They're pretty straightforward. Do you walk in love? Are you full of love? I've done this before. I've asked my kids, and my kids will say, "Dad, you're just mean." In case you didn't know, that is a buzzword for Gen Z. Everybody's mean. And we have to work through it. I'm like, "I'm not mean. Actually, because I love you, I correct you." And we don't agree on that one. But love, joy, Joy? See, I tend to be a little negative, in case you couldn't tell. And I have a dad and mom who are very joyful, and it's so annoying. What's worse is the two joyful people created a little brother for me named Normandy Ortiz, the most joyful, annoying person on the planet. So I'm 14 years old. I'm in my house. I don't want to wake up because it's only 1 p.m. You guys are laughing because you're like, oh, I'm dealing with that right now. And my little brother comes in the room. Hi, Carlitos. Good morning. We're going to have breakfast. And he just talks my ear off. And I'm not going to lie. I hit him. And my parents created a new rule. Two rules. The first one was pretty trite. If you don't have anything nice to say, what? Don't say anything at all. And the second rule is, it's Carlos has to shut up in the morning. I had a rule, there was a rule in my house where I wasn't allowed to talk in the morning. Because my family was so happy, it annoyed me. And then I ruined it for everybody. Joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith. This whole list of great fruit of the Spirit, but right in the middle is the word what? Long-suffering. It means in the middle of my circumstance and situation, if I'm going to be like Christ, I have an ability to persevere, and my character is long-suffering. And I wish that wasn't there, if I'm honest with you, because I don't like that word long-suffering. I want things to be over. I can endure anything, but only for so long. But I remember I had somebody tell me this one time, and I can't remember who it is, but I know it wasn't me, so I don't want to take credit. They talked about long-suffering in this way, and they said this: long-suffering is showing up well, even when the result you are desiring isn't showing up. Do I show up well, even with what I want isn't showing up? Because perseverance causes character, which is shaping you. It's contouring you into the image of Christ, and it's not always fun. And then number three, character produces hope. Character produces hope, because now when you learn how to run the race and you're becoming more like Christ, you begin to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to feel exactly what Jesus feels, and there's hope. There's joy that's set before his suffering, and now you understand, if you're more and more like Christ, that it's not about me and God is doing something and shaping something, and there is a hope on the other end of this. Romans 15, 13 says this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Character produces hope. I'm going to invite somebody to the stage right now. They're going to join me. That's why these stools are up here. And this is one of our fourth and fifth graders, or she's the fifth grader this year. She was the fourth grader last year. And she did our leadership program that you guys have heard us talk about in our kids ministry. Her name is Zoe. Come on up, Zoe. Give it up for Zoe. Have a seat. And Zoe is also my daughter. And so she's going to take 8 minutes and just tell you all my dirty laundry, right? So what you're going to do is going to tell everybody all the things wrong with me. And so actually what we're going to do is we're talking about challenges. We're talking about being grateful for the challenges and how perseverance shapes us in our character, and then once we have that, we have hope. And so I thought Zoe would be perfect opportunity for us to talk about her challenges. And I asked her 2 weeks ago to sit down with us and have this conversation, and right away you said yes. So thank you for doing that. It's not easy as an 11-year-old. But first of all, Zoe is the fourth of our five kids. And so how's that going for you?
Hard, but I had to fight for my spot.
You had to fight for your spot. Literally have to fight for your sponsor. Yeah. And she does. She's our fighter. But Zoe has faced a lot of challenges in her first 11 years. And her mom and I, Libby and I, have been very proud of you, even in our low points. But when you were 2 years old, we started seeing some issues happen with you physically. And how many surgeries did you have from 2 to 3 years old?
Three.
And what were they?
One was both my ears and two were my tongue.
So she had an enlarged tongue. and it was causing some issues with her face and face shape, and it was painful. And it was a really rough year. So we thought, okay, poor girl, she's now 3 years old. She's been through a lot. Let's just enjoy the rest of our lives. And then we got to kindergarten. What started happening in kindergarten?
I had trouble with reading and writing, and it really frustrated me.
Really frustrated you. And she came home. She's like, I'm just not getting it, not understanding. And then we get to first grade. And what happened in first grade?
Well, you had a conference with my teachers, and my parents came home and they told me that I had this learning disability called dyslexia.
Right. And we tried to encourage her because my brother is dyslexic and he's written a couple books, and we just gave her examples of people who are dyslexic and how they're amazing and smart and they just see things different. They have a learning difference, right? That's how we talked about it. How did you feel when we told you you had dyslexia?
Very happy.
Right?
Yeah.
And why were you happy?
Because I found out why I was having trouble with all these things.
Yeah, and you were so happy. What did you do for the next 6 months?
Told everybody.
She would literally go up to everybody at our church, I'm dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. Did you know I'm dyslexic? Why did you do that?
Because I was happy that I found what was wrong with me. And yeah, it just made me joyful.
Yeah. But then the hard work started. Because you were behind. And it was a really tough process. So you've been behind all through elementary school, and you have extra. So she has to leave her class to go to dyslexia class, and so it's been tough for you at times. But you're now in fifth grade, getting ready to go to middle school, and tell us a couple things that have happened so far in fifth grade that have been pretty exciting.
My reading, I'm in middle school reading, and I got A honor roll. Only two people got it. It was me and this really smart kid.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about how character brings us so much hope. And so I hear you talking about middle school a lot more. Are you excited about middle school?
Yeah.
And how much of it does it help that you're now already learning like a middle schooler? Does that help?
Yeah, it does.
And I asked Zoe to come up with a list of things that she was so she's learned in her first 11 years of life. And what are some of those things that you learned? Do you remember what you shared with me? The three things you share with me?
You have to work hard, walk in humility, and live in reality.
And live in reality. So tell me what work hard means for you.
Like, I had to skip class. So either that means, like, you do your homework at school or at home or whenever you have extra time, and it really gets you frustrated because you have all this extra homework and stuff.
Because you don't have the same work as everybody. You have more work than everybody.
Yeah,
okay. So that it can help you grow, right? So what the second was live in humility. What does that mean for you?
It means asking for help, like asking your teachers or the teacher that helps you with your disability or even your friends, which is really hard sometimes.
You know, her teachers have told us that in all their years, Zoe might be the best student at self-advocating. But it takes a lot of humility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is it easy to ask for help?
No.
No, especially in a big family like ours, right?
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of humility. And then number three you said was live in reality. Is that it?
Yeah.
What does that mean for you to live in reality?
It means you have to live that in reality that you have this disability and you have to use it in a good way and not a bad way.
Yeah. It means you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
You don't wake up one day and not have dyslexia. No. So the challenge is our reality, and we have to face it. Well, hey, I want to say thank you for sharing a little bit, because most people don't like sharing their challenges, and here you are 11 doing that. And that's what I wanted you to do, this, to encourage other people your age and a little bit older than you and all of us adults, that if you can do this, we can do this in our challenges. Anything else you want to share with everybody before you go?
Have good attitude. If you don't have good attitude, nobody will want to help you in what you're struggling in. If you get mad at them, they're definitely not going to want to help you. So you just have to have a good attitude through it.
Yeah, and I think you modeled that really well. Give it up for Zoe. Yeah, thank you, Zoe. Love you, baby.
I love you.
Good job. And she came up with those all on her own. Because we want our kids, Libby and I want our kids to live in reality. And as your pastor, I want you to live in reality. And we can't skip over the challenge. And let me tell you something, Thanksgiving week does not take away your challenges you're going through. Thanksgiving week and a good meal and seeing your mom and dad or seeing your siblings or seeing the people you love does not take away your challenge. And if we go into this week just simply hoping to put a band-aid on what's going on, we miss out on an opportunity to go before God and our family and our friends and say, this is what I'm going through, and I'm grateful that God is doing something in the middle of my struggle, in the middle of my challenge. Because once character produces hope, the last thing is this: hope does not put you to shame. Hope does not put you to shame. And I know watching my daughter go through what it means to have a learning difference and what it means, I was so filled with fear. Because when I was a kid, as many of you are my age and a little bit older, when I was a kid, if you had a learning difference, what did that mean? You went to a different part of school. It means you were segmented from the rest of the population, and I didn't want people to look at her as different. I didn't want people to say things to her. And even though the school system has improved vastly, and they're loving her and supporting her, matter of fact, her teacher's here this morning, and we're so glad that you're here with us here at Gateway. And even though the school district and our schools have improved, can I tell you something? I couldn't take away that challenge completely. She still has people who will say, you don't know that word. You don't know how to spell this. You don't know how to do this and that. And as a parent, I so wish I could remove all of the challenges. But can I tell you something? If I remove every challenge, my child does not learn how to persevere. My child doesn't know how to grow in character. And then my child will lose hope because I've paved the way for them. And they go out to the real world. And if they don't learn how to persevere, and if they don't have a godly character, and if they don't have the hope of who Jesus Christ is, they will not make it. They have to learn. And the beauty is we get to walk with them. But as adults, we cannot give them something that we do not do for ourselves. Do we own up to our challenges? Do we own up to what's going on? Sometimes we do it a little too much. I overshare quite a bit. And I'm going to do it again right now. That was a warning. We talk about finances a lot in my house. And my son heard me complaining to my daughters and my wife. You know, there's four of us. There's a lot of expenses when you have four women in your home. Especially when it comes to feminine products of all kinds. And I was complaining. My son came to me in the room and he goes, Dad, are we going to make it? I was like, what do you mean? He's 6 years old. Are we going to make it? The girls are really expensive. I said, I know. He goes, are we going to go broke? I said, we might. We might go broke. But I shared that anecdote with you because I want you to understand that we, as adults, are called to live life with our children. And some of us are facing financial difficulty. Are you sharing that with your family? Some of us are facing work difficulty. Are you sharing that with your children? Because they already see it and they already feel it. They already see the look on your face. They already know you walk in to the house and the whole temperature of the place changes. And you think they don't notice? You think your kids aren't living that challenge with you? And I'm challenging you, as your pastor this week, can we not just be thankful for the feeling, but can we be grateful as an outward expression of what God might be trying to do in us as he's shaping us? Romans 5 says this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And here's my prayer. As I was preparing this message, here's my prayer as your pastor. Philippians 1 says this, and I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And being confident of this as your pastor, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. The question isn't, is Jesus going to complete the work? The question is, will we still be on the table being shaped and formed in the image of Christ, or will we quit? What does the challenge do to you? Can you be grateful for the things that are happening, even when you don't want them to happen. I shared about my son Max when he was two. I have two sons. One's 21 and one is 6. We have 3 girls in the middle. It's a crazy life that we lead. But when Max was 2 years old, Carlos was 16 or 17, and he had his eyes set on a pair of white shoes. And they were amazing. They were high tops. And he's like, Dad, he bought them, and he was going to wear them to school. And he was so excited about them, and he was talking about them. He had his eyes on them for months, and he's going to go to school the very first day. And he just cannot wait to show off his brand new pair of kicks. And he comes home from work one day, and all of a sudden, what my son thought was a cool pair of white high-top Vans for a 2-year-old was a cool canvas to draw on. And if you've had a 16-year-old house, I thought he was going to kill my 2-year-old son. And I'm like in the middle, he's yelling, and my 2-year-old's like, what? What's wrong? And he used 3 or 4 different colors. My son was so upset. Well, he had church that night, and he was going to go to church. And I looked at him, I said, son, what if you took all of the markers that your brother used, and what if he went to church, and what if you had your friends just sign their signature all over to kind of hide what your brother did? He's like, that's stupid. I know. It's not the white, but I am buying you the pair of shoes. So he went to church that night. He had about 20, 30 signatures on it, and he kind of covered up what my 2-year-old had done. So he thought, I'm going to take it to my first day of school. So he takes the markers to the first day of school, and all his friends are signing. And what started off as something to cover up a blemish and the small little challenge he faced, within a week, all his friends started having their friends sign their shoes. And what started off as something dumb turned into something that was kind of a cool thing for these high school kids to do. And we still kept that pair of shoes. They look like this. They're going to be on the screen. They look like that. Way better than a white pair of shoes. And I know you want your life to look perfect. And I know you want your life and you've planned for your business and your marriage and your kids to look a certain way. But maybe life is just drawn all over it. And maybe it looks ruined, and maybe the challenges are overwhelming, but what if you take ownership, and what if you're grateful for it, and what if you take the markers that life has given you, and what if you had people sign it, and what if people in your life are part of it, and what if you found healing, and maybe you become an encouragement to other people, and maybe you encourage your children and your grandchildren and people you work with. Maybe if we're grateful for the challenges can shape us into the person we wanted to be all along. All along. We're going to sing this song. As we sing it, I want you to think about that. What are you going through? What are you facing? How can we own it? How can we work through it? How can we be the people God called us to be? Let's sing this song together.